Again, we're just kind of filling the gaps in till the Lord gives us a series perhaps in the future. If you don't, we'll just keep doing what we're doing. We just want to mind Him. But today we're going to be looking at a godly education. I know I talk with the ladies that do the puppets and try to negotiate what the message is going to be about and incorporate something in there. So it's very fitting to talk about going to school. You know, all of our kids are now seated good in school and everything's hopefully going well. But I was led to that passage of Scripture in Corinthians about just about our relationship with Christ and about, so I've labeled it godly education. If you'll stand with me while our youth are making their way in, we're going to look at the first five verses of 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. That's good, isn't it? Father, we come to you today to thank you for that power that you've made available to us. God, we're thankful for the wisdom that you impart to us and make available to us, just the relationship we have with you. And today, God, as we continue to wrap up this service this morning, I pray, God, that you just preach to me. Give me what I need today. Give us what we all need from your word today. Encourage us and strengthen us, Lord, and teach us by that precious Spirit the things that we need to know. Again, we want to praise you. We want to thank you for all your provisions, for all that you've done. It's been wonderful to be in your house today. Yeah, it's been a little chaotic. It's been a little hectic. But God, through it all, you've had some wonderful things that have already happened. And just the experience of being here and feeling your presence is a beautiful thing. So God, we ask for your forgiveness, for your cleansing as we look in your word, and just speak to us. Teach us in Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. A godly education. I thought about the process and the steps of going to school, you know, and the things that we encounter as we go to school. So I've kind of made a little checklist of those things, and want to kind of run through those with you as we look at some of these verses. We opened up with the first five verses to kind of set the groundwork for what we're wanting to look at. But when we think about going to school, we think about all the things that we have to do, being signed up and being registered, getting all that paperwork, that paperwork on the front end to make sure we're signed up at the right school. We got all those things done. We got all the information. And how much fun is a FAFSA, right? Isn't that like, hey, that's wonderful, isn't it? The greatest thing ever. And it's so easy. Couple of clicks of the button and it's all done. So we have a few steps that we have to go through, especially when you get outside of that high school age, that we got to go through some hoops we got to jump through to make sure we're going to be signed up for the right school and the right program. In verse number 6 in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, dealing with that same idea, he said, "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect." Make note of the word perfect, because that's what we're relating to here. Perfect here means completeness. So perfect is, well, exactly what perfect means. It means completeness and whole. "Yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught." So we got to be registered. And how do we relate him talking this wisdom to people that are perfect? He's talking to Christians. That's who he's talking to. He's talking to Christians. Now, I know that when we go to sign up for school, when we want to sign up for these classes, especially you guys that are in college, that college age, you try to get that stuff done early, right? Because there's only so many people that can get in a class. And if you don't get in, what happens? You're out, right? If they don't offer the class more than maybe one time for the semester, then you're out. And I know that some of those classes, just from my own boys, when they were in college, that some of those courses were only offered certain times a year, perhaps, you know, the first of the fall year, that semester. If you didn't take it then, if you didn't get locked in, that 30, 40 kids in that group, you literally had to wait an entire year for it to roll back around. So it is important for us to make sure that we get registered, right? Get all that information taken care of. Isn't it wonderful that in my Father's house are many mansions? Jesus said, "If we're not so, I would have told you." But he's letting us know there is plenty of room if we want to get in that godly education. There's plenty of room in heaven. There's enough space for all of us to be there. And it's God's will that all would be saved and come into the knowledge of Jesus Christ. There's plenty of room in heaven. And God made it big enough to where we could all be there. I love the fact that knowing, even though we struggle with getting registered, signed up for school and those things here, but that when it comes to us getting what God has available for us, you know what? There's only one thing that hinders us from getting a godly education. It's us. God is literally making available everything we could ever need in our life. And building that relationship with Christ, getting saved, it said he's talking to the people that are perfect, those people that are complete. Not everybody can get a godly education. Not everybody is able, but it's not God's decision as to whether you get one or not. It's that choice we make by receiving Christ as our Lord and Savior. You can't be godly outside of a relationship with God. And I go back to the day when I got saved 50 years ago. 50 years ago, I was under conviction. I remember the Spirit of God just dealt with me and convicted me. I didn't understand. I don't think I understood the depth of all that God is and my relationship with God and all that the Spirit is and all that Christ actually did as a 7-year-old kid. I knew the stories. I grew up in church. I was in church a lot when I was a kid. Thank my parents for raising me in church. So I knew all the stories, but they were still just stories up here. I didn't really understand. And even at 7 years old, I was far from understanding the completeness of God. But I understood enough to know that if I want to be where Jesus is, I've got to ask Jesus in my heart. That I've got an emptiness and a void, and I've got sin in my life that I need to get forgiveness of and cleanseness because I couldn't cleanse myself. So however a 7-year-old kid does it, that's what I did. And I just asked Christ to forgive me, and he came in my heart that day and saved me. So that day, I became one of these people he's calling perfect that he's preaching to. I am far from perfect. Don't get me wrong. Far, far from perfect. Seems like sometimes I get farther every day, doesn't it? You that I get farther away. But I'm perfect in God's eyes because I'm washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the difference. You see, it's not what I do. It's not the person I am as much as what the blood of Christ did for me. I am registered in God's school. I am a student there. And the door is open for me, and the door is open for all of us that have believed and trusted in Jesus Christ as our Savior. Do you believe in Him? Do you know Him Amen. As your Lord and Savior? Do you have that confidence that if you were to die this moment, do you know that you would open your eyes and see Jesus? I keep going back to when we met with Lucille Scotty, and she just said, I want to close my eyes, and I want to open them up and be holding the hand of Jesus. I'm going to tell you something. When you reach that moment in your life, when we're at the last stages of this physical life in this body, and we can have that confidence, you think, how in the world can somebody have such confidence at the moment, moments away, days away from death? Because she's saved by His blood. Because there's grace for every stage of life. There's also dying grace, just like there's saving grace. And God brought that. So if you're saved today, you're a part of the greatest family ever was. And you're one of these perfect people that He's talking about. Yeah, we live in this flesh. We know that we have challenges. We have problems. We know that this flesh sins. We know that we oppose God. There's enmity between us, between the flesh, and between the Spirit of God. We get all those things. But in God's eyes, we have a soul within us. We have that Spirit within us that is saved, that is cleansed, that is pure, that's not stained or tainted. We know that that is what's going to go be with Jesus Christ one of these days. And that's where we got to start. Before I can begin to develop a relationship with Jesus, I have to understand what He did for me. So I got to be registered. Are you registered? I hope you are. I hope you're registered in his school. John 1, verse 12 and 13 says, but as many as received Him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. That's it in a nutshell, isn't it? It wasn't anything that man did. It wasn't anything that I accomplished. I didn't climb a mountain. I didn't swim across a raging river. I didn't go to the depths or to the heights. No, I just believed, and his blood cleansed me, and he saved me. That's so awesome. God made it so easy that nobody is exempt. Nobody is excluded. Everybody has rights and opportunities to be a part of the school that God's putting on. You have an opportunity to be saved by his blood. No one's going to be able to stand before him that day when in the great white throne judgment, when the books are open and then the book of life is open, and those that are lost name is not in that book. No one can stand before him and say, I wasn't given opportunity. I wasn't given a chance. God, you're not fair. None of those statements will be said, because his blood is enough to cleanse every sin. Jesus paid for all sin. So they took all of our sins and he nailed them to the cross. All of our sins. And he made it possible for us to be saved. I hope and pray that you're saved today. If you're not, you know something, this would be a great day to do that. This would be a great day to trust in Christ. But if you are, then here's what happens next. We need to acquire the best teacher. I know when our kids are little, you know, first, second, third grade, those early years, you know, what do we do as parents? We all do the same thing. We talk to everybody that's got a third and fourth grader and says, okay, what first and second grade teacher do we need to get? Which one do we need to try to work around, make sure we get signed up in that class? You know, we all do, you know, we all go through the motions of, we want our kids to have that best teacher. That's going to be the funnest one, the one that works the hardest, the one that loves the kids. We want that teacher for our kids, right? We want, and what we'll do is we'll work hard to make sure we get them in that classroom. You know, there are some teachers, perhaps, maybe you're saying, oh, we got to avoid that one. You know, we can't let them go in there. If they go in there, we've had it. We're in trouble, you know. So we got to acquire the best teacher. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10 and 11, the Bible says, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Spirit's what we need to strive for. The Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. And to add to this, John chapter 16, verse 7 and 8 says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. This is Jesus talking. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. You want the best teacher? Then we need the Spirit of God to teach us and to guide us. That's who we need to be under. We need to be under that teaching and leading and guidance of the Spirit of God. Our conscience is one thing, and I'm not well educated, but my two cents of what our conscience is teaches us, it's we develop what we think is right according to what we've been taught. That's kind of how I view our conscience. We're taught things. We're affected by our environment. And so as we grow, we learn from our parents, do this, don't do that. You know, when a smack on the hand, and our conscience begins to develop within us things that we feel like are right and things that are wrong, dependent on the environment that we're in. There are some folks that consider one thing to be right. Some folks may consider that to be wrong. And I think a lot of it has to do with how we grow up. So conscience is a good guide to have. It's a good moral guide to have. But the Spirit of God doesn't teach us things or that we just perceive to be right. He teaches us things that are right and will always satisfy God and God's heart. You know, your conscience may lead you down a path that may be contradictory to what the Word of God teaches. We may be taught something that we think is okay in this world, but it may oppose what God's Word says. It's not just about us leaning on our own will, because we can tend to think we're pretty sharp. I can tend to think that I know what to do and the decisions to make. The older we get, the more education that we have, the more intellectual we become, the more we think we know. And then we start to lean more on what we think and make decisions based on what we think is right rather than what the Spirit of God is telling us is right. You know, that's the downfall of churches. Amen. To have people in leadership who think they know what's right and choose and make decisions based on what they see with these eyes, what they hear with those ears, and what they think and have developed a conscience within themselves, and make decisions that negatively affect churches when the Spirit of God has a completely different plan than what men have. His ways are not our ways. His ways are above our ways. It doesn't matter how many doctorates I get. Doesn't matter how smart I might think I am. Listen, there will never be a day, never be a day I will not need the guidance of the Spirit of God, because I do not know what is right, but He always knows what's right. Never get too big for your britches. Never think you know what is right. Never think, well, I don't need to bother God with this, or I don't think I need to worry about praying for this, because the answer is obvious. Is it? Just because it may appear obvious to you and I doesn't make it right. We got to pray and make sure we're sitting under the right teacher. We're sitting under the right instruction. Paul, before he became Paul, was Saul, and he talked about his education. He said, I am considered a Hebrew of Hebrews. I knew the law and the commandments. I knew all of them. Listen, he could debate with anybody. He said, when I was a child, I grew up at the feet of Gamaliel, who is one of the greatest known scholars of his day, Jewish scholars. He taught the laws of God and the commandments of God. And so Saul was saying, I know more than most Jews know about God and what He's about and what His law is and His relationship to man. But Paul realized very quickly once he got saved, all this stuff that I have up here means absolutely nothing if I don't have Jesus Christ in here. But if I do, then I'm listening to that Spirit, and that Spirit is going to give me guidance. In John, we see that he talks about it bringing, reproving the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Those three things that the Spirit of God is going to convict the world of. He's going to let us know that we're sinful and that we need to be saved. He's going to let us know that we're not righteous, but that He is righteous. And if we want to be righteous, we got to listen to Him. And He's going to let us know, convict us of judgment, knowing that those that refuse the blood of Christ will be judged eternally. And also, I think He's letting us know there's a penalty for sin. There's a heaviness that comes with us committing sin. Us as Christians, we know that anything we're going to pay for, it's going to be paid for here. We know that Christ paid for our sins. We get that. But if we rebel against God, if we refuse to listen to the greatest teacher of all, the Spirit of God, we suppress Him within us so that He is not leading us, then we know that we're going to live with the results of the decisions that we make, the sins that we commit. We know we're going to live in that misery. But He is available to us to teach us not just what could be right, but the Spirit of God is here to teach us what is right. Jesus said about Him in John that what the Spirit hears from the Father in the throne room of God, He will speak directly to you. You can't get any better than that. You pray and talk to God and, God, I don't know what to do here. God, I'm struggling. God, I'm in a hard place. I'm worried about this, or I'm praying for this person that's sick. When we pray those things, pray and lift those things up to God in heaven. And you know what? He's hearing our prayer. Even when we don't even know the words to say. Have you ever been in a moment in your life where you start to pray and you don't even know what to say? Amen. Maybe you're hurting so bad. Maybe you got that heartache. Like the puppet shared with us, maybe we've got a heartache for something wrong that we've done. We just don't, and we sit down to pray. We don't even know what to say. Isn't it beautiful that the Spirit prays for us? When you don't even know what to say to God, the Spirit of God prays for you, groanings and utterances to God in heaven, and He's able to identify with our heart and what our heart means. Listen, we got to get under the greatest teacher of all. We got to get under the Spirit of God. We got to listen to the Spirit of God as He speaks. We've got to take in what He's saying to us. When you read the Word of God and we start looking at verses of Scripture and we read these, especially these letters that we're in, Paul wrote to me of these churches. We start reading these. Pray for the Spirit to teach us what we need to know from these things. God, show me. I know you wrote this letter to the Corinthian churches, but what are you trying to say to me? What do you have for David right here today? That's where we need to get. Spirit, teach me and guide me and show me what you want me to know. Thirdly, we need to establish a major. You ever go in your first year of college? I know a lot of kids do. They don't have a clue what they're going to major in. What are you going to major in? I have no idea. I'm going to take general classes, and I'm going to wait for it to fall in my lap what I need to do. Or maybe you go in. How many of you have changed majors more than four times? I know that happens a lot. I know that we'll get to the point to where it's like, well, this is not working. Well, I took that class, and obviously don't want to do that. So we're jumping back and forth. We're trying to determine what is the best path for us. What can I do? What major should I have? What career should I enter into? So it's a big concern for us, right? So we need to establish the right major. Well, it just so happens God has a major in His school that He wants you to identify with in verse number 7 and 8. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Wisdom. Wisdom should be the major for every Christian walking on the face of the earth. Proverbs 4, verse 5 through 7 says this, get wisdom, get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. We need, when we do gain wisdom, I think what happens is we start to see a bigger picture. Amen. I start to see things from a different perspective. I mean, look at all these people throughout the Bible. There are numerous examples of people that faced unbelievable odds but came out victorious. Or they stood up in a moment when everybody, the Hebrew boys, Scotty's favorite, they stood, everybody else was bowing. They stood, three young men stood in a sea of people that had bowed the knee. And they're going to be obvious to point out. They weren't standing here saying, oh gosh, I hope they don't see us. Let's hide behind a tree so they don't see us. They literally just stood there and they called them out and brought them up because they had disobeyed the law, the decree of the king. They were cast into that fiery furnace. If we were to look at them, we know what happens. What if you were one of those people that were bound the knee there, gathered around beside them? What are you thinking of these guys? Sorry, but it's over for you. We know the other side of the story. They didn't know what was going to happen, but they chose to stand. That's right. I'm not bound to anybody. I'm just going to stand because that goes against everything I believe in. You see, they were seeking wisdom. They saw something that nobody else that bowed the knee saw. Whether we die in the furnace or whether we don't, we're never going to bow a knee. That's where they were in their heart. And when we get there, we begin to back off and see things from a different perspective, from a godly perspective rather than a selfish perspective. You know, the people that bowed the knee, you know what they were afraid of? I'm afraid of being beaten, being flogged, being thrown in prison, perhaps even losing my life. What were they worried more about? Themselves. They were worried about themselves. They were terrified of what it might cost me If I stand up and acknowledge I believe in God Jehovah and I trust Him. Selfishness, pride, that's what keeps us from being where we need to be with God. When we get wisdom, when wisdom goes up, you know what goes down? Pride goes down. When we get wisdom, we get knowledge and understanding. We get a depth in our walk with God. We begin to see things from a godly perspective. Like the servant of Elisha, Elisha prayed, God opened his eyes, let him see, and he saw the chariots. We see things differently. We quit looking at things as to how can I gain? How can I win? And we start thinking, how can God win in this situation? When we sit under those godly instructions that the Spirit gives, then that measure of ours becomes the wisdom of God. And it changes. It changes your whole character. It changes how you act. It changes how you react, the decisions that you make. People look at you and they're going to say, you're a little bit crazy. You're a little bit crazy. Because you're putting money into something in a ministry. You're a little bit crazy. You're putting all that time and energy into working and serving in the mission field, you're a little bit crazy. How come you're not out putting all that energy into working for a great career to stockpile bunches and bunches of money to have? And have to build big buildings to store all your money? They think we're crazy because we're more concerned about the things of the Lord than we are of this world. But that's where wisdom puts you. It puts you in a place to where you see the big picture. You see that what's going to be important at the end of the day, at the end of our life, are those things that we did in the body for Jesus Christ. It's all the things that are going to matter. What's going to happen to the rest of the stuff? It's going to burn up. When our works are tried by fire, everything else is going to burn up. What's important are those things that are done in the body for the cause of Jesus Christ. Make sure our major is the wisdom of God. Make sure we're striving for the wisdom of God. And back up to verse number 1 and 2 that we read when we opened up. Consider the tuition. This is the last thought. Consider the tuition. Verse 1 and 2. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you save this, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. 1 Peter 1, verse 18 and 19 says, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. You know, when we sign up for classes in college, you want to sign up for all the Pell Grants and you want to get all the scholarships you can. We apply for those things, you know. We're hitting all of those. Hopefully we can get, when you hear the word free ride, woo! That's a good thing for a parent to hear for their children when they go to college. Free ride, amen. We like the free ride. And sometimes you get the free ride. Sometimes it doesn't cost you anything financially for your kids to go to school. And we think about being a part of this godly education. We think about being a child of God. It may not have cost you anything. But these scriptures tell us it costs Jesus everything for you and I to be saved. He gave it all up for you and I. Yeah, but preacher, He's still God. Yeah, but listen, He is God that became flesh, that walked as a man for 33 years and gave His life on a cross for you and I. He gets us. He understands us. He knows what sacrifice is. He knows what pain is. He knows what temptation is. Well, yeah, but Jesus could just tell Satan to take a hike. He was all God, yes, but He was still all man. He felt the pains. He felt the beatings. He was still man. He chose to see the world as man sees the world. That's why the suffering on the cross hurt. Now, I know we can throw this thought as well. A lot of people have died brutal, cruel deaths. Some even more extreme and were punished a lengthier time than even Jesus did. So as far as the physical pains of death, I would imagine other people have felt greater pains in death and Christ have. I will agree with you on the physical aspect, but there's something that goes much deeper no man will ever understand. No man has ever became all sin and paid for it. No man has ever died and took on that spiritual burden that Christ took for all of us. When you think about being saved, and if you're here today and you are saved, you think about what it cost Jesus for you to be saved. When I think about that, then what does it do? Well, first thing is it brings me to my knees and it humbles me. And then it should convict us and challenge us to say, well, what do I do now because of that? I've got an answer for you. 1 Samuel 15, verse 21, 22. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, and the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice for the Lord thy God in Gilgal. Well, Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Samuel said to King Saul, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. So if we've been saved by the blood of Christ, now we are convicted and challenged to make those godly choices, to listen to the Spirit of God. It's better for us to obey God than to just show up at church. Any lost person can show up at church and sit and sing and lift a hand and put a little money in a bowl. Anybody can do that. But God's calling us to do more than just come here. He's calling us to surrender our lives to Him and let Him be glorified in everything we do, in every stage of life. Every opportunity that He brings before us, He's saying, listen to the Spirit of God and follow that leadership of God as He speaks to us. So yeah, to be a part of this godly education, we got to be saved. If you're not saved, today's a good day for that. We've got to make sure we're in that right class, that we're listening to the Spirit, and we're not listening to the world. We've got to have that measure of wisdom. That's the chief thing. That's the primary thing, is wisdom. God's wisdom, not man's wisdom. God's wisdom. And always remember, and this brings me back to my position with Christ, when I always come back and remember what Jesus Christ did for me, what it cost Him for me to be saved and set free from the bondage of sin. So then that causes me, I know I can't repay God, nor is He expecting me to, because He knows I can't. But He does want my allegiance. He does want my service. He does want me to take up my cross daily and follow Him. That's the plan and the goal God has for us. And through that, it's not a hardship. We're blessed by obeying God. Stand with us as we begin our invitation. Father, we just come to You today, and as we think about going to school, God, we think about all these elements and the part that plays in our lives, the tuition, the cost that You paid for us, God, the wisdom that You want to impart to us as we continue to seek that, listening to Your Holy Spirit, God. And I pray that today, I pray and hope everybody here is saved. And I would venture to say that perhaps there are some that are not, that are not where they need to be with You, God. And I pray that You would speak to them today. If there's anyone, the sound of our voice, that needs to get on their knees before You, today would be a day of salvation. Those of us that are saved, God, I pray that You bring us to the old-fashioned altar, God. Get us on our knees before You, that we would surrender to the guidance of the Spirit, of Your Spirit, and we would continue to seek that wisdom. Have Your way in our hearts and lives, God, during this invitation time. In Jesus' name. Amen.